in a time where society is suffering from what many call the effects of a fatherless generation. We need a place where men can receive godly wisdom and guidance so they can take their rightful place as the leaders of their community. A place where men freely discuss men's issues from a biblical perspective. Because the world won't get better until we do.
As men, we don't commit for a few reasons. One, because we don't want to. Number two, because we don't have to. Or three, because we're afraid to.
Okay. We don't want to, we don't have to, and we're afraid to.
Join Pastor Tuck and Brother Corey in the Man Cave. And be challenged to be a better husband, father, or simply the man that God called you to be. Get ready for the Man Cave on the all-new My Church channel.
Good evening and welcome to the Man Cave. I'm Pastor Tuck, and if this is your first time joining us, you're exactly where God wants you to be, because in the Man Cave, we help men get better, become better husbands, better fathers, better sons, better brothers, or just the men that God called them to be by simply teaching them how to apply the Word of God to their lives and providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where they can learn and grow. So I encourage you to share this broadcast with every brother you know, and tell them to check out this broadcast every second Thursday at 7:30 right here on the My Church channel. And joining me for tonight's discussion, as always, is my spiritual son and co-host of the Man Cave, Brother Corey Coleman. Brother Corey, welcome to the cave.
What's up? What's up? Pass it up.
Yo, man. So glad to have you here.
Back in the Man Cave. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, man. Excited, man. We do good work in the cave, man. I'm so excited, man. This is one of my favorite things that I do, man. Get to spend time with my son, man. Get to bless the men. Man, God has definitely called us and anointed us for times such as this, especially, man, in society, man. As we say in the intro, man, we're in a time what they call a fatherless generation, man. But we've been called to be fathers to the fatherless, man. We've been called to help men, man, and shape and form men into the guys that God has called them to be, man. And so I'm really excited about this, what we do here, man. And it's a great time to be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's never been a greater time than right now. And I'm just as excited and grateful that even God is using us and using me in this season to be able to bless men, especially in the cave. Lives are being changed for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And I want to tell you publicly, man, how proud I am of you, man. The man that you are. I know was the last month, man, got to go spend some time with you, man, when you had the birthday party for your wife, man. And it was crazy how I was, you know, your father-in-law came up to me, man, and he thanked me for the input that I've had in your life, man. And it's one of my greatest joys, man, is to get back and see, you know, the men that you, Jay, Kurt, you know, Josh, you know, all of the young men that I've had the privilege of pouring into over the years, to see the men that you all are now, the husbands, the fathers that you guys have turned out to be, man. And so it's a blessing, man. I always get to sit back, man, and just marvel that God allowed me to play a small part, man, in y'all development, man, and to see y'all walking it out. You know, people don't realize how true God is to his word when he talks about training up a child, man, and the responsibility that takes as a natural parent. But when God gives me the privilege to step in as a spiritual parent, man, and a mentor, man, to step in somebody's life and to pour that in, I take that seriously. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage, you know, you guys to do the same thing, man, to pay that forward, man. And when you see somebody as a young man that you know, you see these single mothers out here raising these young men and they don't have that influence, you know, and you feel God tugging at your heart for a young man, you step into his life, man. Just be that guy, because you can't be something. It's hard to be something when you've not seen the example, when you've not actually had somebody walk that thing out in front of you. And you don't have to be perfect. You know, and I'm telling you guys this, you don't have to be perfect. What you got to do is walk straight enough for somebody to follow you. You know, that should be your goal. And the main key is, all you got to do is follow Christ, follow the one that made the path easy for you. Because we always worry about the fact of, well, I don't know everything. You don't need to know everything. The book is right there in front of you. You know, you've already got the model. If you follow the model, whoever's following you, all they got to do is follow what you're doing.
There you go.
And so that's what it was for me, because I was a very young man when I first started out in ministry. I remember, man, I was barely 30 when I met Jay, you know, and you at 15, you know, so it wasn't like I was this old seasoned guy, man. And all God told me, man, was give y'all access to my life. Let y'all see the fact that I was actually doing the things that I said I was doing, you know, and be consistent. And I think that's the key for so many men, man, for us to walk this thing out in front of people, man, and to be consistent with your walk. Don't be hypocritical. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why I went down that road right now, but I think some man needed to hear that tonight, because that's how we're going to influence this next generation. That's how we're going to have an impact in the world that we're living in. And you're going to do that on a great level. You don't need a platform. You don't need a microphone. You don't need your own podcast. You don't need a pulpit. All you need to do is influence some young man that needs influence, and you're going to change his life and every life that comes after him. And we've got to take those opportunities when God gives them to us, because God's calling so many of us to do those things, and we're missing it because we're looking for some great thing, and we can't be faithful over the small things.
Yeah. And I'll throw it right back at you. And I think I say this, and as I say this, I speak for every life that you've touched, especially young men, that we appreciate you. We love you. We care for you. And we, and like you said, it's the small little details, you know, that really grow to build us and shape us and point us in the direction we need to go. And so for all of us, I say thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices. Thank you for the example. Thank you for the discipline. Thank you for correction. Thank you for everything that you've done. The prayers we don't know about, the thoughts that we don't know about, and just thank you for thinking of us and having us on your mind, and just being willing and opening up your family to us to be able to share those things. We definitely appreciate it.
Oh, man. Bless you, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, man, over the last couple man caves, we've been talking about battles that affect men today. You know, we talked about the dangers of the digital age, you know, with social media and all these kinds of things. We talked about the battle for purity. You know, we talked about pornography and all these things, the fight for control over our minds. Well, tonight, you know, we're going to talk about something that sits at the center of all of that, and that's masculine authority. You know, because when a man loses authority in his life, in his household, everything connected to him begins to feel the effects. His family feels it. His marriage feels it. His spiritual life feels it. But when a man learns to walk in the authority God designed for him, something powerful happens. Order begins to return. The Bible shows us something interesting, you know, in the very beginning with the very first man, you know, over in Genesis, you know, right in the very beginning, it says the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. Mm-hmm. Before Adam was given a wife, he was given responsibility. Right. You know, Corey, let me ask you something right here.
Yeah.
Why do you think God gave Adam responsibility before he gave him relationship?
To be able to manage that first. If he's able to then, one, hear from God and to be able to follow God in the direction that he was given him, then he could trust him with that wife, trust him with that woman, trust him with that other being.
And I'm gonna show you another side of that too, which is what God was showing me in that regard is one thing that I think so many people don't realize is because if you don't handle it properly, a relationship can become a distraction to your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be an asset to your responsibilities, but it can become a liability.
Liability, yeah.
One of the statements I tell people all the time, you know, that's why you got to seek God about who you marry, you know, about who you come into a relationship with, because, you know, especially guys who walking in ministry, you got a call on your life. And most of the time you don't know you have a call on your life before you get married. But that's why these are so important to make these decisions when with the Lord, because the Lord already knows the direction he's taking your life. He knows your life from the end, looking back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's important for us to think about our lives from that perspective. So always to seek God when we make these decisions. I tell people that your ministry can destroy your marriage and your marriage will destroy your ministry.
Mm.
And vice versa. Your ministry can make your marriage and your marriage can make your ministry. So you have to recognize how intertwined and interconnected those two can be. And so it's very important. And that's why he gave him responsibility before he gave him relationship. Because like you said, you need to know how to handle your responsibilities and be able to handle those before you go and try to add in a relationship.
Right.
Because if not, once you add a relationship, you're not going to be able to properly steward either. You're not going to handle it's going to be out of balance. So when you need to handle your relationship, you're not going to know how to handle your relationship because you're going to be overwhelmed by your responsibilities because you've not gotten a good handle on your responsibilities. Yeah. And the other thing is you're going to be so engrossed in your relationship that you're going to neglect your responsibilities. And so that's why these things are so important. And if you don't have proper perspective on either, then how important your responsibilities are, you may walk into a relationship where somebody can tell you to shirk your responsibility, where they can sway you one way or the other. And so you've got to have that understanding that, no, this is a responsibility that God has given me. And because God gave me this responsibility, I can't allow this relationship that God has given me to take precedence over that. God has always got to be first.
Yeah.
And so God designed us to be stewards. And that means we are responsible for what God entrusts to us. That includes our spiritual life, our character, our marriages, our children, our homes. But one of the tragedies of modern culture is that men have been taught to avoid responsibility than to embrace it. You know, instead of leading, many men withdraw, they disengage, they check out. Now, Corey, let me ask you this. Why do you think so many men today struggle with stepping into responsibility and leadership?
I think that is, I think it's twofold. I think on one perspective is that men not being in the house. A lot of men that were raised by women tend to fall back and allow women to lead because they've seen their mother do it, their grandmother do it. And they followed that direction into a relationship where then they look at the woman as the one that has that authority or carries that authority just based on what a lot of men grew up seeing and being a part of. I think that's primarily the reason for that. And you know, even with that being said, something we have to go back to is, you know, and I think it's shifting now is more fathers being in the home, more fathers being present, more fathers, taking that authority role. But I think primarily it began with fathers, one, not being in the home and being led by their mothers and by their, grandmothers and being, in some cases, all, you know, treated as, you know, or made to believe that that's the way it should have been, or that was the design of it.
And you know, it's exactly what you just said. I think it's that lack of that presence and that example. But I think that also produces part of that comes from when you don't have that father presence. What happens a lot of times in those situations is that the mothers coddle their young men. And it's funny how we deal with our children. You know, fathers, we raise our young men and we pamper our daughters. Mm-hmm. Women raise their daughters and they coddle their sons.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's very dangerous to have a single mother raising a son. And ladies, if you're watching this, I'm not saying this to be disparaging. It just was not God's design. It was not what he designed. And so you're out of your wheelhouse. You're trying to do something that's not your natural skill set. And so you may be doing a fabulous job of trying to raise a young man of character, but you have to lean into getting and putting other strong men of character around him. I said, because your natural tendency is to love on him and not make him strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what he has to be, because that's what we were designed for. That's what we were built for, because we're supposed to be the foundations of society. You know, that word father literally means the foundation of the family, the founders of the family. And so as the foundation, if you got a weak foundation, your house is not going to stand. And so literally we have to be built strong. We're supposed to be formed that way. And as a woman, you are not naturally in your DNA. You're not formed that way. And so because of that, you need somebody to step in and do something that you're not in your natural inclination, that's not your natural tendency. And so that's the reason why, if you put two little boys that have never been taught anything, never seen anything, you put two little boys in the floor, and before you know it, they're going to be wrestling. It's in them.
Yeah.
It's in their DNA. Yeah. You don't have to teach them. You don't have to tell them. Before you know it, they're going to be wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It is absolutely in their DNA. Before you know it, they're going to be roughhousing.
Yeah.
And you're going to wonder where they get that from. They ain't never seen it before. It's in them.
It's in them. It's ingrained in them.
It is in their absolute DNA, because we are rough.
Yeah.
This is scientific proof. If you put pots and pans on a floor in front of a little boy, at some point, if he's never seen them before, at some point he's going to start beating on them. He's going to start banging them. It's in their DNA. Yeah. We are rough by DNA. And so there's certain things, like I said, that have to be cultivated in that to create the strength that has to be. And so that's why I say it's because, like you said, the roles that are there, those things have to be developed. And that's why spiritual leadership in the home is very important. The Bible gives men a very clear role in the home. In Joshua 24, he says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Yep.
Notice Joshua didn't say, "My household will decide for themselves."
Right.
He said, "As for me and my household," that's leadership.
Yeah.
That means the spiritual atmosphere of this home should not be determined by culture. Mm-hmm. Not what they're doing on Instagram.
Right.
Not what Facebook says. Not what TikTok does. It should be influenced by the man who leads the house. Mm-hmm. As a man goes, so does his house.
Yeah.
And that's either by intention or accident. But that's the case.
Right.
So you need to make up your mind which way your house is going. And you got to recognize your house is going in the direction that you're going, whether or not you intended it to be that way or not.
Right.
Now, I'm going to give y'all a minute to think about that.
Yeah, that's powerful. And that goes back.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead. I was gonna say.
Yeah, because as a man goes, so does his house. So whether or not you recognize it or not, Whether you intended to, you are leading your house, whether or not you know you are or not. So go ahead.
And that it goes back to what you had mentioned at the top of our conversation around the importance and the prayer needed and the guidance needed from God when choosing a spouse.
Yes.
When yes. choosing a spouse. That's why that is so important. That's why yes. that's so important, because it can, like you said, it can be intentional or it could be not intentional, but you know, your spouse is going to play a role in that direction and in you being that man and in you being that authority figure and that leader. And it's going to speak a lot about yourself as well.
And I'll prove to you the statement I just made for the fellas that's sitting there going, you just saying stuff now. I'll prove it to you. The fact that you struggling with pornography right now, the fact that your daddy struggled with pornography, he ain't never teach it to you.
Mm.
But he exposed you to it mm-hmm. because you found his magazines.
Yeah.
He didn't get up and say, hey, you're going to watch porn. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
But because he had pornography in the house and was not careful of how he kept it,
mm-hmm.
you got exposed to it, and now you have a generational curse in your life that you're trying to break. Because as he goes, so does his house.
So does his house. Wow. Yeah.
Because you grew up watching him every day come home and have a highball.
Mm-hmm.
Or drink a six-pack of beer, you still struggling with the demon alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, look here now.
Right.
Come on over here and get some of this.
Right.
Because as a man goes, so does his house.
Yeah.
The anointing flows from the head down.
Head down.
What's on the head gets on the body.
And good or bad, whatever those things are, become normalized.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's the dangerous part as well, is that a lot of behaviors, a lot of actions, whether they're pointing Godward or not, it becomes normalized when it's repeated. And when a child is being able to look up to their parents and they're seeing this type of behavior. You know, if you're raised in a home where, you know, your parents are, you know, our intercessors, and they're praying. They pray for everything. They believe in God. Then you're going to be a person that believes God.
Yeah.
If you're raised in a home where, you know, that, you know, everything is doubted and nobody believes anything, and, you know, the wind blows, we're over here, it blows the other way, we're over here, then likely you're going to carry some of those traits as well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to always stay that way.
No, you have the ability to break any of these things. But that's why we're giving you this information now, because you got to make a decision.
Yeah.
To start leading. Right. Because leadership falls at your shoulders.
Right.
See, it shouldn't be influenced by the man who leads the house.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Corey. Why do you think it looks like practically for a man? What do you think it looks like practically for a man to set the spiritual tone of his house?
It looks like that man, one, being open about his relationship with God, with his wife and with his kids, whether that's praying, whether that's just believing in God. Believing God is going to do everything that he said he's going to do. And then also just by our actions, how we respond to different things. One, are we getting up and going to church with our families? Or are we just sending our wife and kids to church? You know, are we participating in Bible study? Are we reading our word? Do they see us reading our word? Do they see us praying? Do they see us witnessing to someone else? Have they, you know, age appropriate? Have they heard our testimony? Have we been ashamed to share with them where we were? And you know, being able to really open up yourself to that is going to be number one in being able to show them where you are spiritually, but then also giving them space to see how a godly man operates and how he operates his home. because that's going to be your example, is going to be, especially for young girls, is going to be how they choose their spouse. Mm-hmm. Young boys is going to be that example of how they run their house. Mm-hmm. And it all plays that role.
And that's the thing. I always tell men this. I say, you got to recognize,
yeah,
you're a thermostat, not a thermometer. And that means you set the temperature.
Right.
You set the tone. Whether that's emotionally, whether that's physically, whether that's spiritually. And so you have to set the spiritual temperature in your house. If your house is going to be a house of prayer, you got to set that. If it's going to be a house of worship, you got to set that. If it's going to be a house of apathy, you said that.
Yeah.
And so you got to make up your mind what kind of house you want this to be. If it's going to be a house of obedience, you're going to set that. A house of submission, you're going to set that. See, and that's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And see, that's one of those things that they know in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. We are submitted to the Lord and we trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. They know that those things are not negotiable.
Non-negotiables.
They know we trust God. They know that's one. That is priority one. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, whether it's tragedy, whether it's physical ailments, mm-hmm, sickness, whether it's financial difficulty, we trust God.
Right.
Because we ain't got nothing else. They know daddy done been to the bottom. And when he was on the bottom, he ain't had nothing else. He done been to the top. And when he's on the top, he still ain't had nothing else. He ain't want nothing else.
Yeah.
And at every stage in between, he decided he ain't changing. Mm-hmm. Because been one thing inconsistent all the way through. And that's God.
God.
And so he done taught us, and we done seen that consistently. And they have learned that when they wanted to move, that ain't moving. So now they have learned, ain't no moving.
Yeah.
Because this has become the standard. This is what they have learned. This is what they have learned. Ain't nothing else here.
Yeah.
And see, as we talked about from the beginning, this is the thing that I have translated and taught you all with consistency. I talked this to James. I talked this to Josh. I talked this to Curtis. I talked this to Roger. I talked this to all of y'all to take to your own houses that regardless of what happens, we trust God. Y'all have seen me model that regardless of what's going down, we trust God. And so that is the paramount. That is the bedrock. That's what you build everything else on.
Yeah.
Number two is that we obey God, because you can't say you trust him and don't do what he says. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. Faith without a corresponding act of obedience. And there's no way I can say I trust him and I don't do what he tells me.
Right.
So I can't say that, oh yeah, I believe God, I trust, and then I don't do what he says. So everything has to come with, I got to do what he says.
Yeah.
So the word has to become right beside, I trust his word, I do his word. That's my life. Mm-hmm. And then if that's the case, then I has to now, outside of myself, I have to live for him and not me. So I have to serve him.
Yeah.
And so that creates that environment spiritually where your family now knows this is our culture. This is what we do.
Right.
Because the world is anti all of that.
Right.
And now you've created a culture in your house that doesn't look anything like the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But it's what safeguards your family when the rest of the world is going crazy.
Right. And it's not going to be, not going to be popular.
No, it's not.
It's not going to be popular.
There are going to be times where it is absolutely 100% diametrically opposed to everything else in culture, in the world, to everybody else's opinion, to whatever else is going on. I remember it was 17 years ago that I pulled my children out of public school. And it was like, nope. And everybody was like, what you mean? What you mean? What you mean? Mm-hmm. The Lord told me to train up my children. Mm-hmm. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to be socially awkward. Are they going to be able to go to college? Well, guess what? Last Friday, my youngest that ain't never been to public school beyond kindergarten just got her master's degree at 23 years old.
Wow.
And a master's degree in engineering.
Yeah.
And I educated her.
Yeah.
From K through 10. K through 10 and 11 and 12, I didn't send her back to public school. I sent her to college.
That's big.
She did 11 and 12 at community college and had an associate's degree before she had a high school diploma. Got a full engineering scholarship and got an engineering degree in 3 years. And they paid for her to go get a master's degree.
That's big stuff.
And her sister did the same thing and got a master's in architecture. But that's because I heard the Lord. As they say, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered.
And he answered.
That's Absolutely. Why I trust him.
One more time. That's why I trust him.
That's why I trust him. But yeah.
That's good stuff. But that's yeah, it, absolutely. Man.
But
yeah.
that's what happens when you establish a culture.
Yeah.
And you follow it. And now, like I said, instead of us dealing with generational curses, now my children already know. They've already ain't sending my kids no public school.
Yeah.
They already have in their mind how they want to do things because they already know, they've already seen, we've established a new pattern.
Yeah. Let me point out something you just said that may have went over some people's heads is you set the direction of your family and your family follows suit, but it's because you created a culture. You created that culture of dad's going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. My dad said, we're doing this. This is the direction that we're going. So for the men that are new to this or maybe reclaiming their masculine authority within their home, this is not something that's built overnight. This is not something you go in with swinging and tearing down your family. No. This is something that's a culture that is built. One, by example, but then two, and then love and being able for them again to see that relationship that you have with God. So then they can one, trust you. They can't trust you if you're one way this way, next day you're over here and then you're over there and then you're doing this and you're starting to contradict yourself because that's seen as well.
It's that pattern.
That's why it goes back to that consistency. Exactly. Yeah. That's why I was going back to that consistency. And consistency ain't always fun. Consistency don't always feel good. Consistency can sometimes be boring, but consistency is going to save your life. It's going to save your family's life. Consistency is going to get you to where ultimately you want to go. Everything in life, good or bad, is just built on consistency. You consistently do something.
Consistency is the dirty word. It's the banging on the boards. Getting the rebounds. That's how you win games.
Yeah.
Being consistent.
That's how you win games. That's the key to the breakthrough. Consistency.
That is it. That's the consistency. Mm-hmm. That is it. It's running through on every route, whether or not the ball come to your side or not. That's how you win the game.
Consistency.
Because it's the time that you didn't run the route all the way out is the time to get thrown your way and do burn you for 80 yards. That is it. It's the consistency.
Right.
And just like he said, you don't just go in here and just come in swinging, because leadership is not domination.
There you go.
See, when the Bible talks about male leadership, it doesn't mean domination. It means sacrificial leadership. Mm. See, Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Notice the model. Jesus didn't lead through control. He led through sacrifice. That means real leadership in marriage looks like protecting, providing, sacrificing, serving. Corey, let me ask you this. Yeah. Why do you think the world often misunderstands biblical leadership and confuses it with control?
This is going to sound real simple. Because they ain't reading the word. Pretty straightforward. I guess I'm just a straightforward person. They're going to confuse it if they're not reading the word, because they're just going by what they think. Or a lot of people are moved by, I guess, how they feel. But it's never been about how we feel. It goes back again to what you said. If we can't say we trust God and not obey God. So anything outside of that is you know, they're going to contradict each other.
You know,
we have to have those.
I think it's something else as well. And unfortunately, I think it's because they've seen poor examples of leadership. I think they've seen people who are supposed to be biblical leaders in the church who have practiced controlling tactics. And I say that from people who sit in the office in the fivefold ministry who are walking in egotistical practices of trying to dominate and control people because they're doing it for their own gain and for their own purpose versus for the glory of the Lord. And because of that, people think that that's what biblical leadership should look like, that they should be lording over people. And that's the case, but that is never the case. You got to recognize that your home is your first ministry.
Right.
And that if you're going to lead, that you got to lead the way God tells you to. And just like he just said, you're supposed to love your wives like Christ did the church. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to embitter your children. These are not supposed to be harsh in leadership. Like I said, this is sacrificial leadership, and it's supposed to be the same way in the church. Mm-hmm. The Bible actually tells us something about powerful leadership. It tells us something powerful about leadership. He says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And that's how I tell you that the people who you see in the fivefold ministry who are out of pocket, it's because they don't even understand properly. And that's why that's how you can tell. Watch this. I say this all the time, and this is I need you to hear this when I say this. This is why I tell people, you got to check where you're planted. So many people have not been planted, but they're where they have a preference. And there's a difference between your preference and where you're planted. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I was telling them about a situation where we knew somebody who years ago had visited a church, was talking about how the word blessed them. Powerful word. And the pastor said they felt like the Lord said that this person should have been there. This person had two sons. One was a teenager. One was a younger. And, but the lady was single mother, and she chose to go somewhere else in favor of the music ministry somewhere else. Because she preferred the music ministry somewhere else. Not based on where she was planted because this is where the Lord said, I'm going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Because he said, I'll give you pastors that'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. He didn't say, I'm going to plant you somewhere because they got music you'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to plant you.
Be moved by your feelings.
I'm going to give you in a church where they got a choir that's going to make you feel good. Or you're going to have music you're going to enjoy. He said, I'm going to give you a pastor that's going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. And so you go somewhere and they say that this right here is the word you need, but you made a choice this way. And it literally cost her elder son his life. Mm. And I mean, literally cost him his life. Because she started going to the church. He never got planted. And this particular pastor had an anointing for young men. So this was where her son needed to be. So she goes to the church where she likes the music. Son never gets plugged in. He's hanging in the street doing all kinds of things. And years later, he gets involved in some crime, ends up committing a murder. And now he's serving life in prison. And it's like, because you making a choice based on preference and not where you planted. And mm-hmm. I say all of that because it's important. And so when you look at what he just said here, he said, if anybody can't manage his own family, how can he take care of God's house? This is one of the things, one of the key indicators to tell you whether or not you're planted where you're supposed to be. I always tell people, look at the relationship between the pastor and his wife and his kids. Because that's God's indicator of whether or not you're in the right place. Because look at what he just said. If he can't manage his own family, mm-hmm. then he's not properly managing God's house.
Right.
I didn't say him and his wife can't have a moment of intense fellowship. But right. if every Sunday she's sitting up there with her mouth twisted, looking at him mm-hmm. like this joker, mm-hmm. then something ain't right.
Yeah.
If his kids, and not to say everybody's kid does not have a bad day or might have right. a rebellious season, but if his mm-hmm. kids are the worst kids in the church,
something ain't right.
Something off.
Yeah.
And somebody said, there's a dead cat on the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we need to recognize that that's not, maybe not where I should be. Mm-hmm. Because what gets on the head gets on the body. So do you want your marriage to be tore up? Do you want your children to be? So why are you sitting under that?
Right.
You need to ask God, where should I be planted? Mm-hmm. I should look at his family and say, that's the anointing I need for my house.
For my house, yeah.
I should be able to look at him and say, that's the model.
Yeah.
Because if that's not the model, he should be following Christ and it should be producing fruit in his life. And so I should have a model to follow that I can say, okay, if I follow Christ like he following Christ, I ought to be able to get the results that he getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what his word is telling me.
Yeah.
Because his first ministry is his home before he has public ministry. Mm-hmm. And so if his home ministry is failing, I don't care what his public ministry is doing. Mm-hmm. Because his public ministry is a facade.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just like putting bricks on a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to stand. See, before business success, before influence, God is watching how we lead the people closest to us. So before you try to become CEO here, there, and the other, you need to worry about, can I lead the folk at home? Court, why do you think God places such a strong emphasis on how man leads his household?
I mean, basically what you just said, if you can't lead, you know, your household, the people that live with you, the people that came from you, your wife that you've chosen, then it is really hard to be able to have that same influence outside of the home. Because because like you just said, if especially, you know, those that are in a public setting, whether that's a pastor or anything else, it's hard to lead people if they see that you can't even lead what's closest to you.
Yeah.
It has to reflect.
You know,
I can't trust, you know, my financial advisor if he broke.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
Your
fitness guy.
Eating jelly donuts all day. Yeah. Right. So, you know, you have to bring, you know, back common sense to the situation too, and say, you know what, hey, if I'm placing somebody, you know, in a position where I'm looking up to them for something, they have to be in better shape than me in that area. If not, it really doesn't make too much sense to me.
And you know, and this is a side note, but this is one of those things that has always kind of troubled me, that we have had pastors who publicly mm-hmm. are not men of character, mm-hmm. but because they perform well, people follow them. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they're men just like everybody else, and that they're men who have had failings. And I don't have any problem praying for anybody, giving them grace to be restored. Mm-hmm. But when you're walking in active failure, mm-hmm. unrepentant, but you got people just overlooking that because you like their gifting.
Yeah.
May not even be their gifting. You like their performance.
Yeah.
You don't even realize what you inviting into your life.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've seen that so many times but like you said, that's the only place we do that at. But we don't do that. You invest your money at Merrill Lynch when you know this guy a thief. Mm-mm. You don't do that. Mm-mm. You don't go to the nutritionist and you know this guy a full-blown diabetic.
Right.
You don't do that. But you don't have no problem sitting over here listening to the pastor and you know he a womanizer.
Yeah.
We can do that?
Yeah.
How'd that work?
Yeah. Yeah. And I dare to say, and you as a pastor, you could speak further into that. Would you say that that's in part to those leaders that shouldn't be leaders, that people are following, that make some people believe as though they don't have that ultimate authority in their homes, and that they do have to rely on the word of that particular pastor in this case? Just speaking of why we do that with church, why we deal with that within church, rather one, us men carrying that authority, that masculine authority for our home and taking that responsibility of our home and not pawning off that authority to leaders that are not necessarily good leaders.
I think a lot of times where that comes from is the fact that, see, if
does that question make sense? It was kind of wordy.
It makes perfect sense. I just want to know whether or not I want to use the example I want to use to
right.
To
I know.
Back in the day, mm-hmm. You know, joining the fraternity, you know, there were certain things that were questionable that you should be doing when you were joining the fraternity. Mm-hmm. And you had an advisor that was supposed to watch out to make sure you weren't doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And so you were given some advice how to get around that. You do something questionable for the advisor. That way his hands are just as dirty as yours. That way he got to look out for you.
Right.
People have the mentality. See, if I go to the church, if Corey's my pastor and Corey's a womanizer, then Corey ain't going to say nothing to me about drinking, smoking. See,
yeah,
I don't have to worry about you rebuking me as long as your hands dirty as mine.
Right.
Yeah. You'll excuse my stuff if I excuse yours.
Yeah.
That's what I believe it's a lot of.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
We want to be in that place where we comfortable.
Comfortable.
We don't want to be conformable. So I want to find somewhere I can go that, oh.
I can be comfortable.
Yeah. See, I ain't worried about it because, see, over here, see, he ain't one of them.
Yeah.
He ain't going to require me to change because he cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this wasn't meant for me to be comfortable. This was meant for me to be conformable. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm supposed to be being changed. I'm supposed to be being made better. So I want somebody who's going to push me, to change me, to make me better. I don't need to excuse my flesh. I want somebody going to help me kill it.
That's good.
I heard Jesse Duplantis say something years ago. He said, people always ask me, you know, do the Bible say you can't do this? Do the Bible say you can't do that? And Jesse said, the Bible said you can do anything. He said, but I don't look for excuses to excuse my flesh. I look for ways to kill it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You always got to be careful when people say, you know, do the Bible say you can't? Because you're trying to find a way to find a way that you can.
Right. You're trying to find a loophole.
Yeah, you're trying to find loopholes.
Loopholes, yeah,
and those are the people who flock to those type of churches. They're the loophole population.
The loophole population,
and you got to be careful about that because that's why the enemy has so many footholds in your life, and you're gonna be careful because one day it's gonna come with a cost, and you ain't gonna be able to afford it. Something going to be on your life that you're going to be wanting to get off and you don't realize that you have come in league with the enemy. You've come in agreement with him. And now when you want him to leave, he's like, why? We've been sitting up in here drinking beer, watching TV. Now you want me to leave?
Thought everything was cool, baby.
Yeah, you gave me a key. What are you talking about? Yeah. I got a key around here. Well, you going to tell me leave? My name on the lease.
Wow.
And that's why he's going to be looking at you like you crazy.
Yeah.
See, it's going to be just like the seven sons of Sceva. You're going to be trying to tell him, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. He's going to be like, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? And going to turn around and going to beat the brakes off you.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no. Yeah. Who are you? I don't know you like that.
Right.
Player, who you think you're talking to? Because we've gotten so comfortable.
It's good stuff.
Because we're not walking in the authority we've been given.
Yeah.
See, and that's why it's important. That's why you need accountability. That's why men need brotherhood. You know, an important part of masculine authority is brotherhood. You know, men grow stronger when they are sharpened by each other. The Bible says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Mm-hmm. See, isolation weakens men. Well, see, when you by yourself, you can justify to yourself the stuff you're doing. That's a lot of times why people like to go to these big churches where they can hide. ain't got no accountability. They like to go to places where I can get in and get out, you know. I ain't got to talk to nobody. I ain't got to see nobody, you know. Oh, that's because you want to be by yourself because you can justify the stuff you're doing.
Or isolate.
But that's why spaces like the man cave are important, so that you can have accountability, so you can connect with other brothers, so that you can get the word that you need that's going to keep your mind right. Because, man, we need accountability. You need somebody speaking some truth to you.
Yeah.
You need encouragement. You need honest conversation.
Yeah.
Brother Corey, let me ask you this. Why do you think men try to fight their battles alone instead of leaning into brotherhood?
I think we like to isolate. I think we believe that because we have a situation or we're dealing with something, it's going to present a weakness. And we the last thing we ever want to do is present weakness. Weakness leaves a gap for us to be hurt.
Mm.
It leaves a window for us to be exposed.
Mm.
It leaves a space for us to be vulnerable. And it causes us discomfort. It's more comfortable for us to isolate. It's more comfortable for us to not allow, you know, this person to know I'm dealing with this, because we want to uphold our image in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to uphold that image.
That's a pride thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That image.
Yeah. That pride, that ego, that male ego is dangerous.
Yeah.
You got to kill that ego, fellas, if you're going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can grow, that male ego is the first thing that has to die.
Yeah.
You got to stop worrying about how you look. You know, one of the reasons, you know, I was going to say this earlier when we're talking about why God is more concerned about your ministry at home before your public ministry or your, you know, your career ministry, you know, the career, all those things, is because God is concerned about your heart. God's concerned about your character. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, your reputation, that's who people think you are. But your character is who you really are.
Who you are.
The people at home see you all the time. They know who you really are. God knows who you really are.
Right.
And next to God, your family are the ones who really know you because they see you every day.
Right.
And that's why
they know when you're being fake.
Yeah. And that's why I told you, you better check out the pastor's wife and his kids. Because see, all you see is Sunday morning.
Right.
Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. You see the broadcast. Mm-hmm. But it's his wife and kids. They see that joker without the robe, without the suit. They see him at home with his wife beat on.
Yeah.
You know, they see him, you know, in his sock feet. You know what I'm saying? They know who he is.
Right.
They see him drinking out the orange juice container. They know who he is. And so they can tell you whether or not this guy is who he say he is.
Right.
And that's how they respond to him, will tell you whether or not that's really the man of God that he claims he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know whether or not that's somebody you want to submit your life to. Now, before we close, I want to give you, brother, some practical application for this, restoring that masculine authority, that getting to that place in your life. How to reclaim the spiritual authority. You got to first lead your home spiritually. Like Brother Corey said earlier, you got to start praying with your family. Speak life over your children. Create an atmosphere where God is honored in your house. Number two, discipline your mind. You got to start guarding what you watch, what you listen to, what you allow in your spirit. You got to guard your eye gates, your ear gates, your mouth gates, the things you say. You got to start watching how you talk, what you're listening to, what you're watching, because that stuff is affecting who you are. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart flows the issues of your life. All of that stuff that you're taking in, that's where all of the problems are coming from. You might need to get off social media.
Yeah.
You mean you might stay off YouTube, stay off TikTok, stay off Instagram. That's just my personal take. I really cannot stand Instagram. Instagram is just one of those. I've never liked it. And it's just my personal soapbox. And the reason is because it is a visual medium. And so it is almost like a cultivation field of lust. Mm-hmm. And that's what people use it for. People always out here thirst trapping. They always, and so it's like, it is one of those things. And because men are visually stimulated, it is a very bad place for men to just hang out. Because stuff is always flashing before your eyes.
Yeah.
And so it's not a place I spend time. If somebody send me something, I'll go out there. But I'm not one that spends time on these platforms.
Yeah.
If I'm anywhere, I'm on Facebook. And I don't spend a lot of time on any of them because of that. Because they're unfiltered. People just throw anything out here. Number three, take responsibility. Stop blaming circumstances. Strong men take ownership for their growth. The number one indicator of manhood is responsibility. You can't call yourself a man and then always make excuses. So take ownership for your own growth. Number four, build brotherhood. You need accountability. Stay connected to other godly men who challenge you to grow. You need to be around people that push you. You know, I'm always talking to guys who are in the faith. You know, I got good friends that are pastors. Like I said, I got spiritual sons. My people are people who walk in the word. Like I said, if you're not walking in the word, like you ain't gonna spend a whole lot of time around me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I ain't got time for foolishness. I'm going forward. I ain't going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to be funny. One of the things I hate more than anything, man, somebody get in front. Man, you remember back when? You remember back when? Man, bruh. Back when?
Forward.
Always forward. What movie is that from? Forward. Always forward.
I can't remember.
I can't hear. You remember that though?
I remember it though.
Yes, sir. But man, forward. You got to connect yourself with strong brothers.
Absolutely.
You got to remember, man, the world doesn't need more passive men. It needs men who understand their calling. Men who lead with integrity. Men who protect their family spiritually. Men who know how to walk with God. Because when a man gets his life aligned with God, his family becomes stronger. His community becomes stronger. The kingdom of God advances. Corey, let me ask you one last question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think changes in a home when a man truly begins to take his spiritual leadership seriously?
Everything. Everything changes. Everything changes for the better. Your wife, your kids, they start to follow suit. They start to, again, the word culture, the culture shifts. Because as the head goes, the rest of the body does. The rest of the family goes.
You know, it's so funny you say that. Man, one of the things that I tell people, I'm 55 years old. And, you know, I don't plan on going nowhere no time soon. But if I was to go to see the Lord tomorrow, I could go at peace. Knowing the legacy that I left in the earth.
Right.
I don't know how many people can say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like I'm a guy, you know, I hear a lot of people all the time talking, man, if I could go back and do this over, if I could go back, I don't want to go back and do nothing over.
Yeah.
I'm good. Have I lived my life perfect? Nah. Have I wasted things? Yeah, I still waste stuff. I mean, if I make mistakes, sure. But literally, I live my life for the Lord. I serve the Lord. I do my best to every day try to be a blessing to somebody else. I always try to spend my days at least trying to be a blessing to other people. And, you know, it's one of those things, man, where I feel like I've been an example and teaching my girls how to live for the Lord, man, and watching them now walk it out and serving the Lord. Like I said, man, I think I've done my assignment. I think I've done what the Lord told me to do. And I mean, I'm continuing to do that. So that's why I say I ain't trying to leave here no time soon. I still got work to do.
No.
But you know what I mean? But it's like, I literally feel fulfilled in that knowing, looking at where my girls are, they walk with the Lord, doing what they doing. Like I said, my spiritual sons, like I said, the impact that my ministry has had. I'm just like, bro, because I made this my priority.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I see so many people who are still chasing stuff. They still chasing, you know what I'm saying? Oh, this career goal. They want to get here. They want to blah, blah, blah. You know, I made this. Like Paul, I got to a point where was like, all this is nothing.
Yeah.
It's this. It's him. And everything else took care of itself. And it has been my life. It's like, bro, nothing else matters but what God says.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel so fulfilled, because it's like, bro, I literally live my life to say whatever God says, that's what's it.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, man, everybody can't do that. Yes, you can. I don't care what you, I didn't say you had to be a pastor to do that. Because when God tell you something, that's, you just have to make God your priority.
All right.
When you make God your priority, you can do that wherever you are. And it changes how your life is. It changes everything about your life. When your life becomes whatever God says, that's what we doing, bro.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It literally, your peace level comes, like you said, your relationships, everything. It literally, like you said, changes everything in your house, everything in your family, everything in your marriage. Everything gets better, because when you do it the way God intended, you get God results in every area.
Right.
Every area. And so that's why I'm like, bro, it doesn't. It you just said it. Everything gets better.
Everything.
When you walk in that level. And so that's why I'm just like, man, I always tell people, man, I say, I can't get a complaint in my mouth. Don't mean I don't have problems.
Yeah.
Don't mean I don't deal with stuff. But I'm like Joseph. The Lord with me, man. So it don't matter what's going on. He with me. I'm good.
He with me.
So what's happening? I'm good.
Right.
And man, and so that's the thing. You got to recognize that's really what it comes down to, is just knowing that you with the Lord.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and pray our way out, man. But we pray this word blessed you.
Absolutely.
You got anything else for him?
I think that's it. I think we said a ton. And I think that, you know, this conversation, as well as how we've built on over the last few episodes of The Man Cave, is really going to help people, help men reclaim, as the title says, reclaim that masculinity, one within their home. And then from there, like I said, it flows down. So that's good stuff.
Yes, sir. Let us pray. Precious God, we ask you, Lord, that you would raise men who walk in integrity, responsibility, and spiritual authority. Help us to lead our families with wisdom, humility, and love, Lord. Teach us to honor you in our homes and in our lives. Teach us, Lord, to be an example to our children, to our wives, and to every person, Lord, we come in contact with, Lord, that we may do the things, Lord, you would have us to do. Lord, that you would be glorified. let us make the decision as Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That everyone would know that there's a God in Israel. Father, we thank you. And we give you glory today. Lord, we thank you for the man cave. We thank you for this platform. Lord, I thank you for my son. And we thank you for every man listening. And Lord, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of our broadcasts here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or you can go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. We have all kinds of faith-based content. We've got three opportunities to worship every Sunday morning. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got Enjoyable Life with Dr. Russell and Yavita Cash. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Women of Worth. We've got the Man Cave. We got Marriage Seer Training. We got the Heart of the Pastor. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've even got My Church Laughs. We've got all kinds of faith-based content to help you learn and grow, to get you where you need to be, to help sharpen your tools, to continue to help you grow as a disciple of the Lord. And so if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, to be that tool in your toolbox, to strengthen you, to sharpen you as a man, to help you become what you need to be for your family, to be a better disciple in the kingdom, then sow a financial seed. Help us continue to spread the gospel all over the world. But in any event, make sure you share this word with somebody you know who needs it, because you know a man who needs this. Be a good brother. Tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, man, you need to check this word out. But in any event, make sure you come back. Watch with us again on next time. But God bless you. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Brother Corey. Make sure you stay tuned for our announcements. God bless you. See you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and Spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
I just don't understand why I keep hitting the same walls in my relationships.
Maybe it's because of your relationship with your father?
Get ready to receive your breakthrough with Damaged Goods, the all-new audiobook from Pastor Lewis L. Tucker Jr. Prepare to experience the restoring power of the Father's love with a special 17th anniversary edition of the groundbreaking book, now available in audio. Get your copy today for you or someone you love, just in time for Mother's Day.
This Mother's Day, why not get her a gift that will literally change her life forever? A copy of Damaged Goods, The Restoring Power of the Father's Love, 17th Anniversary Edition, now available in audio. Narrated by me, Pastor Tuck's very own AI voice clone. Trust me, she'll thank you.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.